I'm Mike, and I'm here for the signal, not the spin. Today we're diving into the new documentary, Finding Satoshi, the claim that Hal Finney and Len Sassaman together built Bitcoin. 4 years of investigation. Does it crack the case, or just stir up more cypherpunk fog?
Hey, I'm Lauren. Let's cut through. Timelines line up. Coding patterns look interesting, but no cryptographic proof exists. And neither family holds a single sat. Adam Back calls it self-contradictory. Bitcoin's genius? It runs perfectly without a face.
So we're debating evidence versus skepticism, and asking why the mystery actually reinforces the trust model of the network. That's our angle today. Lauren, take us through the documentary's core claims. What are they actually saying?
Right, so Finding Satoshi dropped April 22nd, and it's been making waves. The central thesis is that Hal Finney coded the C++ client for Bitcoin, and Len Sassaman authored the white paper. They're presented as a duo, one writing code, one writing the foundational document. The documentary spent 4 years on this, interviewing people like Michael Saylor and Fred Ursem.
That's a bold claim. Finney was obviously deeply involved early on. He was the first Bitcoin recipient, created reusable proofs of work, and was a cypherpunk pioneer. But positioning him as Satoshi himself, or half of Satoshi, that's a different level.
Exactly. And here's where the evidence gets interesting. Data scientist Alyssa Blackburn analyzed Satoshi's early mining and communication patterns. She found activity peaks between 6 and 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Among six suspects, including Adam Back and Nick Szabo, only two matched that window: Finney, who lived in California, and Sassaman, who was in Europe but used British spellings, just like Satoshi did.
So the time zone alignment is the strongest piece. But what about the coding patterns?
Right, and this is clever. Finney had no PGP commits in the 2 months before the Genesis block in January 2009. Instead, he was coding in C++ on Windows, which is exactly Bitcoin's original setup. His colleague Will Price confirmed this. The documentary positions that as a smoking gun. Finney was heads down building the client.
But here's the thing. Circumstantial isn't proof. We've been down this road before. With Nick Szabo, with Adam Back. What makes this theory different is the duo angle, right? Sassaman as the white paper author?
Right. Sassaman died by suicide in July 2011, which was just 6 months after Satoshi's last public post. Friend Bram Cohen noted that both men's cypherpunk habits matched Satoshi's, and that Sassaman's public criticism of Bitcoin could have been intentional misdirection. The documentary layers that together.
And Fran Finney, Hal's widow, called it plausible. But she also said, the family holds no wallet. That's a massive gap. 1 million Bitcoin, and neither family has touched a single sat.
It's almost poetic. 4 years of digging, and we're still at plausible. That's the longest cold case in crypto history. But let's talk about the counterarguments, because they're substantial.
Bitcoin Veterans is building a community where service, purpose, and Bitcoin come together. Through education, events, podcasts, and meetups, they help veterans connect, learn, and find a new mission in the Bitcoin space. Learn more at bitcoinveterans.org.
All right, we're back with Lauren. So the documentary makes its case, but there's serious pushback. What are the strongest counterarguments?
Adam Back, who Satoshi emailed directly, is probably the most vocal critic. He calls the theory self-contradictory. His point? Len Sassaman was a PhD student in Belgium from 2004 to 2011. When exactly would he have had the time to co-create Bitcoin? The timeline doesn't hold.
And Nathaniel Popper from the New York Times reviewed Finney's emails and wallet, found nothing. No evidence of co-creator involvement. That's a journalist who spent serious time on this.
Right, and then there's the Satoshi mining pattern. The documentary uses analysis of early mining blocks to support its case. But some researchers say that pattern is unreliable. It assumes certain things about early mining that aren't firmly established.
It's like trying to identify a car's engineer from the tire tracks. Interesting, but not proof. If Finney and Sassaman were both involved, you'd expect some trail, a shared repo, a PGP signed post, a private message that leaked, anything.
The strongest evidence is the time zone alignment. But even that assumes Satoshi was one person. We don't know if it was a group. The white paper could have been written by multiple people. The code could have been a collaborative effort. That's the thing. We don't know.
So where does that leave us? Let me ask you this directly, Lauren. Does it actually matter who Satoshi was?
That's the operational question, and it's the most important one. The documentary argues that identity reveals Bitcoin's human origins. But the network's value comes from the opposite: trustless, founder-free code. If we find Satoshi, nothing changes. No keys are moved, no white paper revised.
Exactly. Bitcoin's proof is 17 plus years of uptime, 21 million fixed supply, and millions of self-custody users. The network doesn't need a face. Relying on a creator would break the whole point. You run your node, you verify the rules, you don't need a founder to trust.
When I first read the white paper, I actually assumed Satoshi was a group. The pseudonymity felt intentional. It lets the idea outlive any person. And honestly, the cypherpunk ethos, privacy, decentralization, is built into that anonymity. Finding Satoshi might actually undermine the very freedom Bitcoin was meant to protect.
Let's make this concrete for our listeners. You're new to Bitcoin, you hear about this documentary. What do you actually do with this information?
First, run your own node. That's the single most important action. You verify the chain yourself. You can check the Genesis block hash. It's 00000000165831E965831E935A964F76386C172B3F1B60A8CE16F. That's reproducible by anyone. No trust required.
Second, self-custody. If you hold your keys, you don't need Satoshi's signature. You don't need to know their identity. The network validates your transactions. That's the freedom angle. Sound money emerges from ideas, not idols.
And third, don't let identity hunts distract from the network's real proof. Stack sats, mine if you can, prioritize network effects over origin myths. If you really want to honor Satoshi, don't Google their identity. Run a full node. That's the real tribute.
So the documentary is interesting, but it's a ghost chase. The real lesson is that Bitcoin's trust model doesn't depend on a founder. The network is the proof. Let's take a quick break and then we'll wrap up.
Bitcoin Veterans is a group of military veterans and Bitcoin advocates focused on education, community, and helping veterans build purpose and resilience through Bitcoin. From podcasts and meetups to resources and events, they're creating a place for veterans to keep learning and keep growing. Visit bitcoinveterans.org to learn more.
And we're back. So let's land this. Circumstantial evidence for Finney Sassaman is intriguing but unproven. The real takeaway? Bitcoin's trust model doesn't depend on a founder.
Keep your skepticism sharp, but also keep your focus on the network's fundamentals: fixed supply, self-custody, and the freedom to transact without permission. The mystery is part of the design. It forces you to trust the code, not a person.
Thanks for joining us. If you found this useful, follow the show, leave a like, and subscribe. It helps spread Bitcoin. Thanks for spending time with us on BitTalk. If this was useful, follow the show, leave a like, and subscribe. It helps more people find us and helps spread Bitcoin. Until next time, keep learning, keep questioning, and keep stacking knowledge.